Shalom, this is Yair Davidi from New Bambi. Brit Am Broadcasting Israel. In association with Kosher 101.9 Radio around the world, Carlsbad, New Mexico. We ourselves are talking to you from Jerusalem. From Jerusalem in the state of Israel. We are continuing our explanation of Psalms 119. We have now reached the 11th section of this psalm. This psalm is divided into 22 sections, as we mentioned. Each of these 22 sections is 8 verses. And each verse in Hebrew begins with a word of the Hebrew Bible, along with the other 7 verses. In other words, it is divided into 22 sections. Each section has 8 verses, and all these 8 verses all begin with the same letter in the Hebrew Bible. The present section begins with the letter Kaf. Kaf. You will see it in the King James Version before Psalms 119:8:1. Above it, you will see the words, capitalized words, C-A-P-H, meaning Kaf. That is the name of the Hebrew letter that begins each verse of this section. Kaf has a numerical value of 20. Kaf is the equivalent of the English letter C. The word Kaf in Hebrew actually means the palm of the hand. You open up your hand and the open hand is called the palm. The palm of the hand. And Kaf is shaped like an open hand, like an open palm. So is the letter C. Kaf, in Hebrew, the Hebrew letter Kaf is actually the same as C, but it points in the opposite direction. Hebrew is written from right to left, whereas English is written from left to right. From the Hebrew word Kaf, we probably get the English word cup. You hold a cup in the palm of your hand. A cup is an English utensil for drinking. Just made to be held in the palm of your hand, is made to be held in the cup. This is why we have cup. In Hebrew, the letters for P and F are one and the same letter. The same letter is used for the sounds P and F. And we decide whether to sound this letter as a P or as an F according to grammatical rules, according to how the letter appears in the sentence or in the word. But it is accepted that the letters P and F, or the sounds P and F, belonging to this letter, have the same meaning. They have the same import. So, whenever we get a letter in English which sounds F, with the sound F in it, we can also derive its meaning from another Hebrew word which has the sound P, or vice versa, or the opposite way. When we have a sound P in English, it may be derived from a Hebrew word which has the sound F. In addition to the word cup, you also have cuff. You have cuff, C-U-F-F in English. To cuff someone, means to give someone a blow with the open hand. With the palm of your hand, you give them a cuff. And this too can be derived from the Hebrew word cuff. And actually, it is the same word. In Hebrew, the word cuff could be pronounced as cuff. To do something with a cuff, with the palm of the hand, could express it to cuff someone, the same as in English, to give them a blow with the palm of the hand. So we have another word which is derived from Hebrew. Also looked it up in the dictionary just to be sure, and I saw that they don't really know where this word comes from, which stands to reason, because they didn't learn Hebrew. And if they did, possibly be due to the anti-Jewish prejudice or prejudice against the Bible, prejudice against Hebrew consciousness, they would not want to admit it. These might be harsh words, but this prejudice exists. It exists amongst academics. It also exists amongst common people. Not everyone is prepared to admit that they have Israelite origins. Not everyone wants to know that they have Hebrew origins. Some of them are afraid of it. Some of them don't want it. They have a prejudice against the idea of being Israelites. Maybe they themselves are not Israelites, or maybe they are, but they've just been misled to acknowledge Israelite origins, to acknowledge that we had Israelite forebears implies acknowledging the Bible, it implies acknowledging a higher power, it also implies acknowledging some type of restraint upon our behavior, some sort type of higher power which tells us what to do and has expectations for us. And not everyone wants this. They find life hard enough as it is. But whether we want it or not, there's such a thing as reality, as what exists, what actually is. And there is a God, and God did give us the Bible, and the Bible is true, and the Bible does have directions for us. And in the Bible, we can find that certain things are expected from us. And whether you like it or not, this is a reality, and once you learn it, and once you become acquainted with it, it gives you joy and delight in life, and it's worth knowing. And this is the option that you have. Either know about it, obey it, enjoy it, delight in it, or hide yourselves from it. Pretend it isn't there and suffer because of it, because this is the reality and there's nothing you can do about it, whether you want to or not. Referring concerning our Hebrew origins, we in Britain believe that many people in America, North America, and in Britain, and in Western Europe, and their descendants overseas are descended from Hebrews. They are, in effect, descendants from the lost 10 tribes of Israel. And wherever else you want to look for the lost 10 tribes of Israel, you should, first of all, look in those areas amongst those peoples, because that is where the majority of them will be found, and that is where historically they came to expression, they gave expression to their Hebraic origins, and they did those things that were expected of them, that they were required to do according to the Bible. They fulfilled the task of the 10 tribes according to the Bible. And in the end times, and we are probably reaching the end times, a call will go out to them to recognize their ancestry, to realize where they came from. This is what we are doing, this is what we are doing, even though it is only a small way, we've only succeeded in reaching a small number of people, and not everyone is listening to us. It doesn't matter, we are doing what we can, and we should be assisted to do this, because it is important. It's important for us, and it's important for you. It's important for everyone who is concerned with this matter. If you wish to find more details on this matter, on this subject, go to our website, britam.org, and there you will find much more on these subjects, much more about what we have spoken of. Getting back to our Psalms 119:81 says, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, by thy hope and thy word." He is in trouble, he is fainting, he is longing for the Almighty, and hoping that God will give him some type of direction. Psalms 119:82 says, "Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me?" Thy word in Hebrew here is Imrotecha. Imrotecha can mean your rule or your directing words. We long for God to guide us through life so that we not make mistakes and do the right thing, both for our own sakes and for the sake of all those dependent on us and around us and affected by us. When we become aware that God is guiding us and that we are doing the right thing, we shall feel comforted, because it is comforting. And in 1983 says, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes." The word translated here as a bottle, or like a bottle, is kenod. Means like unto, and not means a leather bag, or a leather skin bag that they used in the same way as we use bottles. And when they used to hang these bottles up beside the campfire or beside a fire, they were liable to shrivel up, they were liable to dry out. And so too, the person who was saying this psalm, David, who is saying this psalm, he is saying that he is longing, he is waiting for the Almighty to help him, he is waiting for some type of attention, some type of regard, some sign of help, and he is not finding it, and it's taking a long time to come, and in the meantime, he is drying up. "Nevertheless, I do not forget thy statutes. Even though things are difficult and divine providence seems less close to me than I need it to be," says the psalmist, "I am keeping the faith, I am obeying the law, I am doing what my task in this world is, as I understand it to be." And we too should do this. The psalms were made for us. The psalms were made as prayers, as requests that we can direct to the Almighty. And the psalms speak for us and teach us how to speak. And by saying the psalms, it is as if we are praying, and we can pray. One way of praying is to say the psalms, because this really does give expression to our subconscious, to the inner things that our soul wants us to say. In 119:84, the psalm continues, "How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me?" Life is short. Life is not long. We have a few years here and there, and then it's over. We need to feel the guiding hand of God as soon as possible. But at the same time, we have enemies. We have things which are against us. Everything sometimes seems to be against us. We owe money. We don't get on with our neighbours, we don't get on with our spouse, with our wife, with members of our family. We don't get on with our boss, we don't get on with our subordinates, we don't get on with anyone. This can happen, it sometimes happens, and sometimes it seems that even though objectively there's no reason why you shouldn't get on with them, since we are very nice people and they are all against us. So maybe the fault is in us, maybe we better our ways, at least to some degree people will get along with us and we will get along with them. And this is worth taking into account, worth considering. But there is such a reality that people are innocently persecuted and hurt. People who live in the neighborhoods that are crime prone or seen as a racial conflict are often hurt, are often opposed, are often oppressed by enemies. There's no fault of their own. And these enemies hate them and despise them, and it's not true because they have been hurt or persecuted in the past, because of prejudice in the past. They do it because they just don't like you. It sounds funny, but it's true. We need, David is saying that he's being persecuted and oppressed by enemies who are also the enemies of God. The enemies of Israel are the enemies of the Almighty. The Bible repeats this fact frequently, over and over again. The enemies of the Israelite peoples, meaning both Judah and Joseph, are the enemies of the Almighty. Psalms 119:85 says, "The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. Evil, wicked doers." The word translated here as proud in Hebrew is zadim. Means evil, wicked doers. They set traps for me. And actually, the word trap in English probably comes from the Hebrew taraf or trap, which means to devour, tear to pieces. And that's what a trap does. A trap catches and hurts a person. And delivers him over. And the evil, wicked doers have set traps for me, even though I do not deserve it. They want to harm us. They want to harm the Israelite peoples. They want to harm the Jewish people. Non-Israelite nations hate us. And they try to hurt us, even though we do not deserve it, and they cannot justify themselves. They have no justification for it. It is a lie. It's not true to say that they do. They unjustly and wantonly are trying to harm us, and they persecute us. They are going against the laws and the will of the Almighty as expressed in the Bible. 119:86 says, "All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me." We must consciously try to do the will of God, and this is the equivalent of keeping the commandments. We must do what God wants us to do, and that is as if we were keeping the commandments of the Almighty. If we do such it, God will help us. If we do this, God will assist us, and He will come to our rescue. He will succor us. Succor us. That means He will give us, as if we spoke previously of thirst, and succor literally means to give drink, to give moisture to someone who is thirsty, and it is used to give as is used in allegorically as to give help. And God will help us. And in 1987, "They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. I did not depart from your will as I understood it to be, consciously or subconsciously. I was always trying to do what you wanted." And this is a private psalm which David was saying. It also reflects the incidents in his own life, his own experiences as the king of Israel, as responsible for one of the greatest nations on earth. He had a lot of opponents, both within his own ranks and outside. And also David had the power, the ability through prophecy to empathize, to feel what others felt, and he foresaw what would happen to the Israelite and Jewish peoples. And he often spoke through the Psalms on their behalf. And that is the reality is now that all the nations of the earth are against the Jewish and Israelite peoples. They're all every single one of them. All the Arabs, all the Palestinians, the Muslims, the Chinese, the Koreans, the Russians, the African blacks, the Hispanics. Every one of them, name a single one of them who's on our side. And even though all we ever tried to do was to help them, but all they want to do is to destroy the Jews. They want to destroy the state of Israel, and they want to destroy Britain, and they want to destroy America. And they are liable to succeed in doing so, or to seriously harm us, God forbid, unless God continues to help us and protect us. And we should realize that God has been helping and protecting us all the time, and we should be thankful for it, and hope that he continues to do so and to direct us. Psalms 119:88 says, "Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth." We promise God that we'll continue to do what is right and to seek to do his will. We ask God to invigorate us and give us life and vitality so that we may overcome our enemies and continue to do what we should be doing. And what we should, both consciously and subconsciously, what we should naturally always try to do. Always try to do what the Almighty wants us to do. America, on the whole, does try to support the state of Israel. It does help the Jewish people. And it does try to do what is right in the world. Even though all the other nations pretend the opposite and pretend that America is just looking out for itself and just actually harming the rest of the world. It's not true. The Israelite nations, the Jewish people, and descendants of the Israelite nations on the whole, they do wish to survive, and they do wish to support themselves, they do wish that their own peoples be prosperous and healthy, and so do we all in our private lives. We all want our families and ourselves to succeed and not suffer from sickness or ill health or attacks by criminal elements. We all want this for ourselves, but we also want everything be good for other people. And we try to make it that way. And we should realize that we are not all bad. And on the whole, that we are doing what God wants us to do, and we are praying that God will help us and continue to help us. And we believe that if we strengthen ourselves in faith and learn the Bible and do what is right, that God will indeed help us. Thank you. This is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Brit Am, broadcasting Israel.